Hello.
Hello.
Welcome to
Mind Body Stuff.
I'm Kaylee.
I'm Bernice. It's
been a long time since we've said that.
I know. That's kind of feels kind of weird.
I know. We used to do this every week and now we're like once every like 6 weeks
or
something.
Once every blue moon. Whatever that means. I don't really know.
How often is a blue moon?
I don't know, but I don't think it's very often.
Yeah.
Like a red moon or a blue moon.
A pink moon. Green moon.
But now we're just happy when we have a chance to get together and do this.
I know. It's good. I miss these conversations.
I do too.
I like they're thought-provoking. I hope that they're thought-provoking for you all out there listening.
Yeah.
Or at least, I don't know. Hopefully we can engage in more dialogue about some of this stuff too, because I feel like it's one thing for you and me to just sit around and talk about it, but it is so great to hear how other people think about things.
It really is. And we've been learning that recently.
Very much.
All sorts of opinions and viewpoints from people.
Yeah.
And for me, I like maybe most of us, I get stuck in my lane.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm like, this is what I do. Mm-hmm. And these are the friends I talk to.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's kind of nice to have.
This is my area of expertise that I feel very comfortable with.
Comfortable in this, not my little avenue here, whatever.
Right.
But I love when we get feedback and then I'm like, oh, I didn't even think about that.
Right.
Yeah. So we really appreciate that.
We do. We do. I think it's been just a really intense time for so many reasons since March.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so uncomfortable, a lot of what we're going through, but it's so necessary. And I do really believe, I don't know if I'm just a optimist, but I'm always like, oh, there's so much reason, like there's so much to all of this. Like there's so many gifts in all of this.
Oh yeah. I mean, there's obviously a tremendous amount of tragedy in all this, what we've been going through with the virus and with racial injustice and all the stuff we've been talking about. But of course, I was just reading something yesterday. Someone shared a poem about how you have to have pain to have growth.
Mm-hmm.
And initially when the virus started, you know, I was just kind of frozen in fear about, well, I don't know what this means, what's going to happen. And then suddenly once I started seeing beyond the initial impact of it,
mm-hmm.
just tremendous amount of growth appeared.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I haven't been affected personally. I don't think I could say that as easily if I had a partner or a parent die from the virus.
I think that's a really good point.
Yeah.
I think that just kind of brings me into another thing that I've thought about and I've talked about. I've even talked about it on this podcast before, where I have a really hard time when my truths are not universal truths. And so then it kind of totally throws me because I'm like, how can I believe something if it's actually not true for everyone?
Mm-hmm.
And so that is, you know, I think I've been struggling with that a little bit because exactly what you're saying. For me, I really do look for the gifts in all of this because I'm not personally just being, you know, highly affected by it. I haven't had any deaths. I don't know how that feels. And I don't know if I'd be able to speak about the gifts of this time so freely
mm-hmm.
had that been the case.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Gives us so much more compassion, I think, and so much more depth
mm-hmm.
to the understanding of the gift, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, okay, well, if you're going to pull a gift from this,
right,
you better understand the depth of what you're referring to.
That's a very good point.
And then it's like, oh, right. It makes you, for me, it makes, brings me right into the moment. Like, pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh yeah, mm-hmm. I have to reflect mm-hmm. on this.
But then I guess it also makes me wonder, do truths have to be universal?
I don't know.
And I think that's also where I go then is I'm like, yes, but I am also allowed to have my own truths that may not be true for everyone else. And I think that there, you know, for me, when I sometimes in my search for meaning, you know, I'm searching for like, what is the universal truth?
That's
like, what is the truth?
Right.
You know, but I think also one of the really great things about storytelling and about actually listening and also sharing from a truthful place, it's almost getting me closer to an acceptance that just truth is not universal.
Yeah, truth and truth changes.
And truth changes too.
So I might be holding on to a truth, and then an experience happens, or a variety of experiences happen, and suddenly your truth is like completely shifted.
That's a really good point.
So mm-hmm. maybe it's also important to know, maybe there aren't universal truths. Mm-hmm. And maybe,
well, I mean, there are some, like, I mean, you know, laws of gravity, for example.
I think I could fly.
I bet you could.
How did she pass? Well, she kept saying she could fly, and we kept telling her there's laws of gravity, and she said, I don't believe in that.
I can defy that.
I shall defy that. And she climbed up to the roof of the new building.
Truth. That is not my truth.
It is not my truth! But yes, I think, you know, personal truths, of course, those can change over time, which I think is fascinating.
They can, but
that's important for me not to get, because I get fixated kind of like, right, this is the rule.
Right.
This is the truth.
Right.
And then suddenly something shifts and shakes up your whole world.
Right.
And then I'm like, oh, I don't think that was, I think my truth has shifted over to this now.
But I think if we don't hold on to our truths, then I don't know, at least for me, if I don't have truths for myself, then I can get really lost, or I can find it all quite pointless.
You're like directionless.
If I didn't deeply believe in what I believe in, I think I would, I don't know.
That's a good point.
I don't know if I would find a higher purpose or a higher reason or a higher meaning in doing stuff. I think it would just make me a lot more just like, well, fuck it.
Yeah. Right.
You know?
Yeah. Like, I think that's true. I think we do hold on to truth to give us meaning and parameters and focus.
And so now I have to figure out, am I okay with my truths not being everybody's truths? Or do I need to continue doing deeper and deeper and deeper work till I get to a place that my truth doesn't come from a position of conditions, privilege, perspective? Mm-hmm. You know, like, so what is that quest for truth? Like, and how much of the seeking of the truth is actually detracting me from just being present and living in the moment?
Ah, very, very good point.
So I don't know. But as you guys know, I think and think and think and think and think and overthink and spend so much time in my head that I don't know how useful it all is. I'm not sure.
Well, but it's your life.
It is my life. It's how I live my life.
It's how you live your life. And I think that's why we have to be careful when we judge others' lives sometimes,
sure,
which I do sometimes. And then I'm like, well, they're not living a full life, or they're not, right, you know, I have this judgment.
Right.
And then I realize, hey, babe,
they haven't put everything on the line and followed their dreams. I'm like, they're, you know,
yeah,
or like whatever it may be.
They're not striving to better themselves. Right. Are they pushing themselves?
Oh, you're just out at the, you just have your country club pool day, like,
yeah,
good for you. But probably inside I'm actually like jealous, being like, God, I wish I wasn't just thinking and like striving all the time. Like, can't I just enjoy a like day at the pool?
Right. That's exactly right. Right. You know,
part of me wonders like how much happier I would be if I actually just like stopped thinking so much.
And that's what I have to do sometimes. I'm like, you are being weird.
Right.
You know, I'll sit at home, right, and suddenly I'll be like, and then this is going to happen, and then people die. And then what does that mean? What's our meaning in life? And what's the purpose? And why are we here? And are we really working hard enough?
I know.
And then suddenly I look at my husband and he's just like, you know, you should go outside.
Yeah, and I'm like, so true.
Why? Mm-hmm. But of course, then it's all that balancing again, mm-hmm, going back to balance. And, mm-hmm, and especially now, it's been a tough time because of all the things that have been happening in our culture, in our society, that, mm-hmm, we've dealt with a lot of input from folks. Mm-hmm. And it's good. It's kind of shaken my core a little bit.
For sure.
And made me reflect on, you know, what am I doing? And am I doing it for good reasons?
For sure. Yeah.
You know, all those questions. So that's been, it's been good, but it's definitely shaken me.
Oh, totally. It's totally shaken me too.
Yeah.
Well, and you can see why you can see the impulse to run away from it all. Mm-hmm. Like for me, I'm like, you know, it's like, it makes me want to run. Mm-hmm. Honestly, like it's really hard for me to stay in it sometimes. And we have, you and I have definitely received a lot of people's stories as a form of feedback.
Yes.
You know? Yeah. And so that's been a really interesting thing for me, because I have felt many times like, you don't understand my truth. You don't understand my truth.
Where
and
I'm
you feel
from.
Like I don't understand your truth.
Mm-hmm.
And so that for me has really brought up this question of like, well, what are the universal truths? And for me, you know, then that goes into the deeper and deeper and deeper spiritual stuff. Like, well, what, how, why are we here? How are we all connected? You know,
mm-hmm.
because I think for me, underneath it all, I believe that we are all connected and rooted in love, and we all share a divine light that is source energy. And it's all the other, you know, the other human stuff that separates us and keeps us. Well, not in our own different truths, but in a way, yes, because of our life experiences and perspectives and all of that. But underneath it all, I do believe we are all connected in love. And it's just really hard when I feel like we lose sight of that.
Mm-hmm. And like I'd written the other day, I really feel connected when we do ULA.
I feel totally connected when we do ULA. And then I think it was after or before, I think it was within like a day of each other, I posted that quote, I think, in the community page.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and it said, you have to find that place that brings out the human in you, the soul in you, the love in you. And I totally feel that that's ULA for me.
Mm-hmm.
Because there is something about that shared communal experience where we're just meeting on that deep soul level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I feel it goes beyond even truths in a weird way.
It goes beyond truth. It does.
I feel like a dynamic human animal, you know, like
uh-huh.
in that moment, I look at the person and I'm like, I know you.
Uh-huh.
And I feel like they know me.
Right.
Beyond all the verbiage I might shoot out in the mm-hmm. world or my own judgments and my own biases mm-hmm. that I communicate.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for me, you know, when we do ULA, I wondered if I wasn't communicating well enough to the broader public that, you know, what our mission is and what we're trying to do here.
Right.
You know?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I agree with that. And we're working with just this amazing woman, and she's helping us to really, I think, figure out our voice
mm-hmm.
and figure out, like, once we can figure out our voice, then, you know, we can work on our marketing, we can work on our social media presence, we can do all of that stuff. But so I've just been trying to really think about, like, what is our lane? You know, like, who mm-hmm. are we? Who are we? What is our voice going mm-hmm. out to the world? And I really believe it is a space that the humanness
mm-hmm.
is totally welcome and invited.
Yes.
And in that humanness, the stories are dancing together, essentially. And the stories are not different, or the stories are all very different. But it's like we're connected, even though the stories, our own individual stories, are different. It's almost, that's what connects us.
Mm-hmm.
It's like all of these stories are just being woven together, and it's really hard to see any of the differences that in a normal, you know, setting we may be able to see. In ULA, it's like it all gets blurred.
It gets totally blurred. It's almost like physically I see blurriness in the mirror.
I do too. Uh-huh.
Especially if I'm really in the moment. If
mm-hmm.
I'm doing it right, I feel like I'm there. I'm really present. The mirror comes, the images are completely blurred.
Right.
Right. And it's that's fascinating. I was just thinking, like, that's why when we do, I was just thinking aside, the live classes.
Oh, uh-huh.
It's hard for me to look in the mirror when we teach for the camera, because the mirror represents to me the blurriness of it all.
Uh-huh.
It's almost like, don't look too much at that.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
You know, in a weird way, because it's like, then I lose almost my connectivity
to the camera.
Yes. And to the moment and to the people.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Oh, that's really
interesting.
Isn't
that fascinating?
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden I was like, because I do feel like when we do ULA, when we're really in the grips of it, I transcend
mm-hmm.
all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I transcend my biases. I transcend your biases. I feel like we're just so connected. I almost can feel our origins.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, I almost feel like, oh, remember a long time ago when we all, you know, came from this one place? It's a weird, it's a very heavy feeling.
And I think that you oftentimes think about like origins and lineage. Mm-hmm. And so it's, that makes total sense. Like, you often speak about your ancestors and you speak about, you know, like the spirits of your ancestors. And for me, like, I just don't have that feeling. And so for you, it's really cool because it helps. I don't know if it helps you in that, in like, in a spiritual way. Mm-hmm. But for me, like, to access my spiritual, like, even at the Ula One training this past weekend, I just said, like, spirit speaks to me through music. Like, that's how it's always been. Like, when I put music on, like, that's how I access spirit. And so for me, when we're all dancing together, I just feel like we are just like, so I can't feel our origins. I can't feel our roots. I just feel us as like one, like, pulsating like energy. Mm-hmm. And it does transcend everything.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
It totally transcends everything. And you know, I know everyone's like saying that you're colorblind, like that's total BS. That's not true. But I have, my truth is that in an ULA class, when we are in it, I don't see shit. Like, no. I just feel,
I agree,
energy.
Yeah, I feel energy.
I just feel people's energy, and I feel how we are all part of one bigger thing.
Yeah, I feel connected to this planet and to the humans, us humans. I feel connected to the animals and the plants, the whole place. And then I also feel connected to something beyond, that mm-hmm. I know that there's stuff beyond mm-hmm. and that there's energy out there that's beyond, but it's circulating all around us in different forms. Mm. And it's just like, it feels very like, whoa, profound.
Mm-hmm. I'm also really struggling because I try not to bring like spirituality into ULA because I know we don't all share universal truth on that. Yes,
right. Good point.
You know, we don't share universal truth, but I'm really having a hard time as we're starting to figure out, like, I know 10 years in, we're starting to figure out our language.
It takes us a while. Jeez. We're slow movers. It's fine.
But as we're doing this work and as we're starting to do these different exercises that our friend is sharing with us and stuff, I'm having a really hard time not talking about spirit.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Well, and it's a matter of semantics, too, I think, because culturally, it just draws up so many different images for people, mm-hmm. don't you think? Like, mm-hmm. if you use the word spirit, I think everyone's like, oh, mm-hmm. do you mean spirit in the Catholic Church?
Do you mean, who are we talking about?
Do you mean spirit, like, in Buddhism or in Japan? They have another form. I can't remember their other form of religion, but it's like, it's to the animal spirits and the plant spirits.
Oh, sure.
And so there's so many variety of ways. So it's just such a buzzword, I think, for people that they mm-hmm. go like, it just depends on the human. Like, they'll go.
Well, we want to categorize it. We want to judge it. We want to put a picture to it. Mm-hmm. And when we put a picture to it, it ties a story to it. And then we either feel connected to that story or we don't feel connected to that story. Yes. We either feel included or we feel excluded.
It brings
we feel
a drawn bias. In
or we feel pushed away.
Yes.
But I still feel like I'm having a really hard time talking about what ULA is without talking about how it feels to me like spiritual fitness.
It does feel like spiritual fitness. Feels like sometimes I get caught in spirit, but sometimes I go with the soul.
Well, what's the difference?
I think there is a difference.
I think there is too.
Maybe you guys could comment on that.
Like, soul. I mean, and that's why ultimately when ULA started, it was named Dance Mania for the soul.
Yes.
And I do believe that. Like, it is a soul moving experience. We connect at a soul level. But how can you have soul without spirit? I don't know.
No, I don't know.
I have no idea.
That's a huge question.
I do not have an answer to that.
People have pondered that
for centuries. I'm sure we could Google that right now.
Spirit
and find an answer.
Versus soul. And then, of course, as we know, we bring up people are sensitive to those words.
Absolutely. And I guess I've tried so hard not to offend people with ULA.
Right.
But at some point I'm like, I have to be true to me.
You have to also be honest. You have to be authentic. That's what we train people to. That's a part of our journey is about, are you authentic?
Right.
You know, and authentic isn't at the cost of hurting people, by the way. You know, let's just remember that.
Right.
You're like, if you want me to be authentic, I could say some mean things.
Oh, sure. Some good people, point. Yeah. Right? Well, that actually brings up a really good point because the other day I posted a quote by Sonia Renee Taylor, who wrote the book, The Body Is Not Apology, an apology. We've talked about this book a lot on the podcast, but one of the things she said is she said, you know, if white women spent like half as much time, fighting white supremacy as they do losing weight, this problem would, you know, be gone. Blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And that really offended somebody in our community. And, you know, got a personal message about how, you know, that felt really like it was, you know, disrespectful to the to those of us who are really trying to lose weight for health reasons and you know, for health reasons, ultimately, not for vanity, but for health.
Yeah.
You know, and I thought about that and I'm like, wow, like how interesting. We all have such different truths. And so basically what I wrote back is I was like, if it doesn't resonate with you, like, don't bring it close to your heart. Like, don't bring it into your heart. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be more than just, okay, you see it, you read it, you see your reaction to it, and then let it go. It wasn't for you. And I think that there's something really important there. Like, people are going to offend us. They're gonna say things that we disagree with, but it's our choice how closely we want to pull it into our heart. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, then I wrote back and I tried to explain where I was coming from. But ultimately, and this isn't true for everything, but this is true when things are rooted actually in love. Because even we can say things, we can totally say and do things that are rooted in love that won't feel loving to somebody else.
Yes.
And I think it's really important. There are things that are absolutely rooted in hate. And of course, we should not, this advice, or then I'm not trying to give advice, but this whole don't bring it into your heart. There are some things that obviously I'm not talking about right now. What I'm talking about are phrases or statements that are rooted in love that feel offensive. Mm-hmm. And so at that point, I think there is a choice to say, I'm going to bring this close to my heart, or I'm not going to. I'm going to say, this is not for me, and I will release it.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
But, you know, and so I've just spent so much time with Ula trying to not hurt anyone or trying to do things that everyone is going to like. But you get to a point, and I think that this is one of the beautiful things about sharing our stories, is you realize, oh my gosh, we all are allowed to have different truths.
Yes.
And for there to be space for it all. But I think what we need to do is just give each other permission to have a different truth than our own and know when it is rooted in that person's love.
Yes. Right. It's not rooted in hate.
It's not rooted in hate. Again, things rooted in hate, that is not what we're talking about right now.
That's not what
things
we're talking
rooted
about.
In fear, that's not what we're talking mm-hmm. about right now. Things rooted in you know, destruction or separateness, that's not what we're talking about right now. I can have a truth that's rooted in love that will not feel loving to somebody else.
That will not
and I
resonate.
Have to be okay with that.
Yes. Yeah, you definitely do. And I think ultimately for me is if I know it comes from a place of love.
Yes.
A place of pono, and you say in Hawaiian, which mm-hmm. means a place where you feel like it is right, that mm-hmm. it is true and not hurtful. Mm-hmm. Then at least you know when you're criticized on it, or if you hurt someone with it, you can at least explain that for me, it came from a place of love.
Yeah.
This was yeah. not to be destructive or to be right. hurtful in any way. Yeah. And I'm sorry that it hurt you.
Yeah.
Because yes. I think ultimately, and I hope I teach my children this too, is you must come from a place of love. Mm-hmm. You mm-hmm. must understand what you're saying, what you're speaking. And then at least you can stand up and say, this is where I was coming from.
Right.
I am open to learning and
to understanding how this affects you.
Yes.
Or how this,
and yeah. understanding others.
Mm-hmm. And understanding
others. It comes from love. And then love comes from, in love is compassion. Mm-hmm. You know, you've got to, if you are working hard on those things in your life, then I think you're doing a good job.
Right. Yes. I totally agree. So that's been an interesting thing. For me to kind of work through personally. Mm-hmm. But it's been good for me too, because I have really had to look at, is what I'm doing rooted in love? And it is like, Ula, I can guarantee anybody listening to this podcast right now, I give you my word, Ula is rooted in love. Our actions, our choices, what we say, what we do, it is with the intention of sharing and spreading and hopefully including people in a loving space.
Yes. Yeah.
But it's not always going to feel that way to everyone. And that is something that I have to accept.
Yes.
And I can accept it when I know that my actions are still from a place of love.
I totally agree with that because we just, you can't understand everyone's truth and everyone's reality. Mm-hmm. And we can't ultimately understand everyone's story. Can we hold space for people's stories? Yes, we mm-hmm. can. That doesn't mean I'm going to understand the story per se, mm-hmm. but I can hold space for it.
Mm-hmm. And it doesn't also mean that I can have an action that I believe is rooted in love. And if I can see that it's destructive to somebody else, mm-hmm. then I may actually need to change.
Yes.
Even though my action was rooted
good
in love.
Good point. Very good
It doesn't
point.
Then not hold me accountable for the effect that it has on people.
Yes.
Now that I think is a fine line to walk because if we're doing all of our actions based on how they're going to be received, I don't think we can act from an authentic place.
No.
I think when we're constantly concerned with how things are going to be received, we automatically strip some of our own creativity, our own personal energy, our own gift to the world. I think it starts to get manipulated.
And isn't that how women have been taught?
Oh, women totally
in our culture. I was just thinking about that because it's like I was just reading this study about boys versus girls being raised. Mm. And this is a gender general. So just, you know, give me some grace with this.
Sure.
But in general, in our culture, in America, boys are raised with a sense of overconfidence. Mm-hmm. So it's like, yeah, do that. Go ahead, John. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. whereas women are like, are you sure you want to do that?
Right.
Oh, are you too loud?
Right.
Is that too much? Mm-hmm. And so again, we're constantly overthinking almost like, right. Will this hurt somebody?
Right.
Versus like, I said it, I did it. You know, mm-hmm. if I hurt someone, I retract it.
Right.
But right. I know for me growing up anyway, until my later years, until my probably 40s, I spent most of my life trying to figure out what to say.
Right.
So it wouldn't be offensive to anybody. Mm-hmm. So I could fit in.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be a variety of political views, anything, social views.
I like this kind of music.
I love
what's
this
cool,
kind of music.
What's going to make
even
me cool,
even though inside
accepting.
I'm like, I don't even like this music. And right. How about how many women do you know, because I've worked with them in therapy, are like, I actually have no idea what I do like.
Oh, yeah.
Because they've been like, you know, my one girlfriend was like just following her boyfriend around forever for years mm-hmm. and years. And finally he dumped her. And remember, I took her to the ice cream store and she couldn't figure out the ice cream she wanted.
Oh, funny.
And I'm like, Annie, it's like, you know, we're at Haagen-Dazs, babe. It's like, you know, you've been here 10 minutes.
Yeah.
The lady's waiting for our order.
Right.
And she looked at me and tears just started running down her face.
Aww.
And she said, I have no idea what ice cream I like.
So she would always just get what her boyfriend got?
Always got what he got what he thought was good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Interesting. Oh, yeah. I love that kind of
thing. It's like broke my heart. She just stood there frozen at the ice cream store.
And you know what? I think, again, very gender stereotypical,
yes.
whatever, however yeah. you say that. I think also we're taught to be attracted to the overconfident male.
Oh, good point, Kay.
And so they are learning that behavior. I mean, think about it. We always want the bad boy because the bad boy is overconfident. He feels like he can do anything.
He's
like he's invincible. Mm-hmm. And we are kind of trained to find that male more attractive than the one who's like really thoughtful
maybe
and considerate and sensitive.
Yeah, I'll listen to you for a while. And do you want to, you know, talk?
And I think we're trained to find the female who is like, very like good and like I'll go along with
acquiescent.
Yeah, that we're trained that is the attractive female.
Oh yeah, how many times I get shot down at those dinners for speaking my mind, you know, at my family dinners, and I'm like, what's happening?
Sure.
And suddenly it's like people I like, and they're like, you need to be quiet.
Sure.
Or you're too opinionated, and mm-hmm. I'm like, pardon me.
Mm-hmm. Or I feel like even maybe sometimes when I feel like I'm speaking up. Or speaking my mind, like it's just not even received.
Oh, yes.
Like, it's just kind of ignored.
Yes.
You know, and it's like, oh, you probably just wish that I would, like, go along and laugh and be like...
Right, not say anything.
Hey, everyone. Don't forget to join us on July 11th at 11 o'clock a.m. Mountain Standard Time. We are going to be dancing to the song Bigger Love by John Legend. You can find that choreography at our online studio, or you can find that choreography on our Instagram feed. We are all coming together to dance and to fill our hearts and our feeds with love and light and strength. If you record yourself, please use the flat or the hashtag #BiggerLoveUla and Ula Flash Mob. We are going to be creating a video using everybody's footage, bringing it all together, and we can't wait to share this incredible event with you all. Yeah, it's really interesting, and I think we need to just be cautious of how we, like, women to women are continuing some of the things that are destructive for women.
Yes.
You know, it's kind of interesting to think about, like, how subconsciously we also are part of this continuation.
This big patriarchal
society
that we've been raised in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we continue, like we were talking earlier today about how at our trainings, it happens almost every time. Every time. I won't say almost.
Yeah.
Every time. At the end of the training or some point in the training, women will speak up and they'll say, I can't believe how nice all these women are.
Right.
You guys are so nice. I have never felt so supported by so many women before.
Right.
And that just breaks my heart.
Well, and I can't tell you how many trainings, I would say at least 75% in the opening circle will have at least one woman say that they don't trust women.
Yes, very good point.
And then at the end, at the closing circle, it's usually like, wow, like I feel safe now. I feel like, wow, everyone here is so nice.
Right, yes.
And so there is something about, you know, there is something about women not trusting each other.
Mm-hmm. Not trusting each other. Yeah, there is something totally about, and then how we pull each other down.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're still part of this patriarchy. We're just regurgitating what we've learned in this patriarchal society.
Right.
I think it's like, you shouldn't be a leader.
Mm-hmm.
You shouldn't be speaking up.
Yeah. Or you feel like when you do, as soon as you F up, there's going to be a woman who calls you out on it.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
It's always a woman who calls out a woman on how they mess up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I find that really interesting.
And also how we're impacted by it.
So impacted
by it. Because I remember telling my husband a story about something happening recently. And I'm like, and then I felt a tremendous amount of shame. And I was like, and I just can't do it. And he just looked at me and he was like, what is happening?
Uh-huh.
They just said, you know, four simple words to you.
Right.
But to me, it shamed me, and then it shut me down, and then it turned into a bigger thing of doubting my worth.
Well, yes, exactly, because I think that women really understand the power of shame.
Oh.
And so we use it as a weapon,
mm-hmm.
and we often turn that towards one another.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what that's about. I don't really know what that's about. It's actually been really interesting. I found social media like a little bit interesting lately, of course, with just the way that women are so quick to just like shame each other. Even when the intentions are good, I feel like women are all over each other in really kind of unhealthy ways. And I don't mean to shame women again right now, but it's been disappointing.
Yeah, right. But I think with grace, I think understanding that we're sort of reacting to this patriarchal society. We've internalized these rules.
Yes.
And we're speaking them out.
it's really interesting because we've been kind of mulling on this topic for a little bit. And then I've talked about this before, but I went to Jen Pasteloff's On Being Human workshop maybe like 2.5 years ago now. And she posted something just yesterday, which was totally great timing. I'm going to read it out loud to you guys. She says, "How to be human. You fuck up, you keep going." And then she said, "Something happened just now, and my first feeling was burning shame. Not going to share what it was, it's private, but shame flooded my body, and my old response came up to shut down. I believe as humans, we have two choices, keep going or shut down. I'm concerned with the keeping of the going. What do you need to do? Apologize, meditate, work through it, however you do, then get up and keep going. The things we often misfile under shame could as easily be filed under human." And I love that because so many times when we just, when we feel that shame and when we shame each other, it's just for doing things that are so totally human. But I think women especially know how to use shame to shut other people down. But I don't think the men do that to each other.
No, and I don't think they do. And even if they do, they're not as affected by it, I feel like.
I totally agree with that.
You know, they're just kind of like, what?
Yeah.
Like even when my son, who's 13, is playing with his friends and I'm like, oh, he's, that boy said something so negative to you. Like I want to run up there and, or I'll hear Ray say it to the, another boy.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you have to go make that right. And he was like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
We're just playing, Mom.
Yeah.
And I'm like, but to me, if a girl had said that to me,
yeah,
like I'd be like, I guess I can't play here anymore.
Uh-huh.
But to them, they're all like, and then they totally work it out and they're doing something else again.
Well, I wonder, like, I think that women, well, and I was wondering if this is true for maybe the way you've raised your kids. Like, do you feel like maybe you knew how to use shame with your daughters? Like, did you use that more than you used it with your sons? Because for example, for me, like I know that my, my instinct is to use shame on my daughters to be like, to get them to change their behavior because I know how quickly shame can shut down a person.
Yes.
So it's like, I feel that desire to use shame to get them to stop doing what they're doing.
Right.
But then I have to actually be conscientious of that and use a different approach rather than shame because I don't think that's healthy.
No. And I think it can backfire sometimes, obviously. But I think with the boys, it wasn't as effective. Like they were just like, I'm not going to listen to you at all. Like, I don't care.
Right.
You know, whereas Joe, you know, I would use some harsh language sometimes to shame her.
Right.
You know, maybe I called her a whore once when she was like 16. And I remember the boys kind of being like, what's happening? Like they were kind of watching.
Why are you calling Joe a whore?
Why are you calling Joe a whore? And then I remember my husband like, boys, let's go outside on the deck now.
Oh, that is so funny.
And then we had a big screaming match with each other. But I think it affected Joe that I called her a whore.
I've heard this story many times. Yeah. It must have. But like, even with me, this is so bad. Like, you know, it's summer and so we're not doing any schoolwork anymore. But the other day I was like, we gotta stay on the reading, you know? And so I was like, Hux, go get a book. And she got a book and, you know, it was kind of a longer book and she's reading through it. And, she was like getting tired and she was like, and I said, do you want to be the only one of your friends who can't read? I said that to her.
Yeah.
And that was a total shame. That was such a shaming comment.
Yes.
To not be like, oh, you're tired now. Let's be done. Let's come back to this in the afternoon. I literally picked a very powerful thing to say to shame her. And I was like, why did you just do that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because, but then it comes back to me. It comes back to me and my insecurities. I have such an insecurity of like not keeping up.
Yes.
You know, I'm always comparing myself like, oh, you know, what is everybody else doing? I should be, you know, I should be further along with this in my life, or I should be doing this. Like my sense of shame, it's usually tied into being like keeping up with who I consider my peers.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So what did I do? I took my shame and I tried to put it onto her. Mm-hmm. And that's how we keep these shame cycles going. Yes. And I'm like, stop it.
Yeah. Stop Haley. It. Yeah, that's right. I tried to, I noticed my son, his best friend got put on a top basketball team for the summer, which I'm like, why are you playing basketball in the summer? It's COVID.
Right.
They're like, we're going to Vegas. I'm like, enjoy that.
Vegas?
To play.
Are you kidding me?
No. Taking a bunch of 13-year-olds.
Oh my God, that sounds like the Vegas. Worst idea.
Yeah, it sounds and so, but I had to stop myself because I wanted to say, because he didn't want to do this basketball practice. Right. And part of me was like, well, that's probably why you didn't get picked for the team.
Mm.
But then I stopped myself.
See, you're good. You stopped yourself before you said it.
Four of them. So then, and I know his reaction is not good. Like, he tends to just retreat.
Oh, uh-huh.
He's not going to do the practice even more.
Right.
Like, he's like, okay, then it's solidified. I will never go to that practice.
Right.
And then I'm like, that's not effective.
Right.
So I stop myself. And I every time it comes up, because now they're like, well, that team has a nutritionist.
Oh.
They have, like, trainers. I'm like, these boys are going into eighth grade. I'm like, what is happening?
They have a nutritionist?
They have a nutritionist. Wow. And part of me wants to, like, say nasty stuff.
Yeah.
While Dad and Ray are talking about it.
Well, but that's I'm shaming.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, because we know it's effective.
Right. And then I'm like, don't say anything.
Yeah.
Don't say anything.
Yeah, just that's so good you stopped yourself.
Let them process this stuff together.
That's so good you stopped yourself.
I've looked on this thing. I was looking up because we were talking about shaming and women shaming women. And one of the pieces I found was about internalized sexism. You know, how there's external sexism. And again, it goes back to what we were talking about earlier, the patriarchal society. And we as women kind of internalize it. We do internalize
right.
it over time. And it says, it's infinitely easier to lash out at other women who don't have the institutionalized authority to hurt us or take away what power we may have gotten and label them as the problem. But that doesn't get us any closer to solving the problem. Indeed, by shifting the blame and creating a scapegoat, we're just helping to obscure the root of the problem, which is our patriarchal beliefs and institutions.
Wow.
I mean, that's heavy.
That's heavy. That's totally heavy.
Because I do the same thing. I pull women down or, you're very, very judgmental sometimes about like, look what Barbara's wearing.
Barbara?
Like, why would she wear that?
Right.
Versus like, and then I'll say to my boys, maybe I'll be like, did you see what Barbara was wearing? And they're like, no. And I'm like, oh, well, you should have.
Oh, funny.
She should be ashamed of herself.
You don't say that.
No.
I can't hear you saying that.
But I might think it
right.
sometimes. But then that's me trying to deal with, again, if we're aware of it, then we need to fix it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And is it easy? No, it's not easy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I appreciate the ULA training so much.
Mm-hmm.
Because in those moments when the women say, oh my gosh, I've never been around so many supportive women before.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, that's how we start changing it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I want us all to feel like we're supported.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I feel that so strongly. And I know that, like, I feel like there's just something about being human where we do like categorize. We're like, oh, okay. Like, I think our brain is looking for ways to like, understand information.
Making sense of our world.
Yeah. So our eyes are getting this input and then our brain is like beginning to categorize.
And kind of filing things.
Yeah, like, filing things away. Blah, blah, blah. But I do really believe that in an ULA space and in these like weekend long empowerment weekends, it all fades. You don't see
fades.
Any of the things that maybe your brain originally categorized as, oh, this person is this age or that all of your, I don't even want to call them biases. I don't even want to call them biases because biases to me places a judgment on that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not even talking about from a judgment standpoint. I'm just talking about like old, young, brown hair, blonde hair, long, it's like those types of things.
Like our overweight, brains are just, underweight.
Yeah,
totally. We're all like, oh.
But then by the end, like I feel this is the coolest thing about the Empowerment Weekends. After everybody has taught their song, everybody teaches their song, and then they come and sit down, and we sit and we talk. Like, I feel usually in that moment that I'm seeing them for, like, it's I can't even describe it, but I almost feel like their faces look different.
Yes,
like,
I agree.
I look at these people in their eye after they've just taught this song. They've been in the front of the room. They were brave. They were powerful. They were beautiful. They were raw. They were vulnerable. They were real. And then they sit down and we look in each other's eyes and I feel like, oh my gosh, that's what you look like.
Yes, it's their true nature, their true soul.
It's like I see that, like,
yeah.
And then you have the closing circle, that afternoon. And it's like, I just feel like we are all connected on such a deeper level. It's like you literally are blind to any sort of way that we are anything more than just our soul.
Right. And even for me, maybe I'm not blind, but I'm so much more aware of the fullness of the human experience. Like, mm-hmm. it's just like, oh my gosh, it's just like, I appreciate the whole way of being there.
Right.
You know, like your story, her story, how she danced, how right. she didn't dance, right. how she was afraid, how she was brave. Mm-hmm. I feel so much more capable of holding love for everybody.
Yes, I think that's so true. It's just we're more able to hold love for each other.
For everybody.
And that's what like pisses me off about social media is I feel like we're not able to connect on this level where you look people in the eye and you watch them be brave. That you may be actually witnessing them doing something brave. Like maybe what they write, maybe a statement that they make, maybe they're sharing a piece of their heart and soul and it does feel vulnerable and brave to them, but it's so easy to still tear them down. It's so easy to comment on how they're doing something wrong or how they're not seeing it from your perspective.
Or they said it wrong.
They said it wrong. And that just so saddens me because when we can sit in a circle and when we can show up and feel each other's bravery and we can feel each other's story and heart, it's so hard to tear each other down. It's so hard because you see their truth.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so just not easy to do that on social media. And then we start to tear each other down. We start to criticize, you're doing this wrong. You didn't do this right. You said it wrong. You should have shown up this way. And you just don't feel that when you're in a space that is safe. And I think in person, I don't know what it is because I feel like I've done brave things on social media, but people can't maybe feel me in the way that they would be able to feel me when if we were in person.
You feel your presence and you feel the presence of the other.
Uh-huh.
Feel like. And then in social media, there's such a disconnect to the other
mm-hmm.
that you don't. It's just, it's like kind of like why bullying was happening or continues to happen so much on social media.
It's so easy because you don't have to look. You don't have to like.
I don't have to look you in the eye and tell you you're a jerk or whatever.
Right.
You know, or what a terrible person you are or blah, 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 blah.
Right.
That's really hard to do when you're in the presence of someone.
Mm-hmm.
Now you can still do it. And of course, people do it.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's right. Someone's being offensive or hateful. And you're like, I have to stand up.
Yes.
And I have to say something.
Yes.
But I love what my dad taught me. And I've shared with Kaylee 100 million times about living on an island.
Oh, yeah. I love this.
He was like, careful what you say. You're not. And he doesn't mean like, don't say your truth.
Right.
But he said, just remember when you say your truth, you're going to see the person the next day and the next day and the next day. So you better be able to hold space for your truth mm-hmm. and for their truth.
Yeah, it's an island. You're stuck with these
people. You're stuck with these people. It's like, there's John again. Hello, John.
Hi, yes.
I did say that one thing to you last night.
But I actually still really do need to buy that, wood from you or whatever.
It's So it's a sort of continuing this diplomacy without mm-hmm. losing your authenticity,
mm-hmm.
I think.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't follow, to be honest, I don't follow that many men on social media.
Good point.
But I have started to just go and check the profiles of some men who may be partners of women who are very vocal right now on social media. Or who are just, I feel like either, I don't want to say activists, but maybe like spiritual leaders or, thought leaders mm-hmm. and things like that. Because those are the people I'm drawn to on social media. And they're much less in each other's business, I feel like, right now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's really interesting for me to see just the way that the different genders kind of communicate with each other
mm-hmm.
about how to actually make change that we all really want.
Good point. Yes.
How are we going to come together? What are we going to do to actually make things better? Because the funny thing is I think we're actually really agreeing on a lot of things.
Yeah.
We're just finding ways to
different ways to speak it.
Yeah. But then because we have different ways to speak it, we have so much opportunity to tell people they're doing it wrong.
Yes. Right.
And women, for some reason, are taking taking that opportunity.
Yes.
Whereas I don't know if men are taking that opportunity to tell each other how they're doing it wrong.
Right.
In the ways that women are.
Versus looking for solutions and, you know.
But women are powerful. That's why I'm like, ooh, shit.
Women are like, powerful.
Powerful in both ways.
Yes.
Very powerful in both ways. Yes. As are men, of course.
As
but
are
it's
men.
Like, I just don't know if women, I don't know. It's been really interesting for me.
Yeah. And it's also, we're in a very stressful time.
Totally stressful time.
So we're kind of, you know,
I feel like we also just want to forget we're in a pandemic, but we're not. We're not out of it yet.
We're not out of it yet as we see.
We're still in a pandemic.
We're still in a pandemic and the problem is not solved.
The problem is
the pandemic problem has not been solved.
No, it has not. And so, you know, we want to pretend that's over, but it's not. And there, even if it's not at the forefront of everybody's mind, it still is a big thing that we are energetically experiencing.
Yes. And so we're always under this sort of this amount of trauma, I mm-hmm. feel like.
Yeah.
So it's kind of making us go, you know.
Even if we personally aren't experiencing fear, fear is very, very dominant in the collective
right now. It's cycling. It's all around us. It's just like blowing around us like mm-hmm. a wind.
Mm-hmm.
And so, of course, even if you don't have it per se, it's like when a wind blows and you're like, I do feel the wind though, you know?
Right.
And I will change my behavior according to the wind
mm-hmm.
because that's mm-hmm. what you're going to do. Of mm-hmm. course you should.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know? It's like there's World War III going on and we're all like, I don't think it's that bad. Do you think, was that a bomb just there? You know, it's just kind of like, and you're like, yeah, it was. I'm like, I'm still going to dance right there though anyway.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it's just so hard for us to comprehend what's happening.
It's so hard.
I think in our human psyche, we're like, what?
Right. Yeah.
Where's the threat?
And it's just fascinating to me because I've, you know, just all the people who just don't even believe that the virus is happening.
Oh.
And that is their truth.
That is their truth.
That is their truth. And I've actually started to do a lot of research on just like different thoughts about the virus
mm-hmm.
because I want to understand what that truth is.
Yes.
And again, like it, for a lot of people, it is rooted in love.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You know? And so for me, that gives me more compassion rather than being like, I can't believe these people don't believe it. It's like,
right.
Oh, this is how they're believing it. This is what's happening. This
right.
is like their truth about it.
Yeah.
And in a way, it does give me more compassion.
And one would say if you had to work with someone who had a completely different belief system like
yeah.
that, you would have to come into the meeting or the session with that understanding.
Right.
Because only with that are you actually going to affect change sometimes, I think.
Yeah.
Ultimately, because you have to have an understanding so then you know how to get in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, okay, so you don't want to,
mm-hmm.
you know, wear a face mask or whatever it
mm-hmm.
is.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to understand, if you just come in full force, like, you're going to put the face mask on. You think they're going to put the face mask on?
Or shame them for not believing or not wearing the face mask. That doesn't, it's like that doesn't bring us closer to a solution.
Mm-mm.
Shame does not bring us closer to a solution.
No.
We always think it is. That's like our go-to.
It's an easy go-to.
It's so easy. It's like a cheap shot.
But it totally shuts everything down.
Oh, it shuts it down.
Just all boom.
I know, it totally shuts it down.
Shuts it down. So
it's and you have to work really hard to stay open when someone shames you. It's it's a very big
because
practice.
Of course you want to retreat.
Yeah, I want to either retreat or I want to be aggressive back.
Yeah,
which is a form of retreat.
Defense. Yes, that's right.
Because I want to be like, I'm going to protect myself, so I'm going to shove my hands in front of me.
Yeah,
because that's a way to protect myself.
Yes. Yeah.
And so it's really hard to stay there with your heart exposed and open and stand in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's really challenging. Mm-hmm. I've had to do that a couple times lately and it's hard.
It's hard. It's expansive though after you do it. Sometimes I'm like, whoa, that was a lot.
I agree. Like I do believe that I'm learning how to have difficult conversations.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I've been afraid of difficult conversations. Like I'm the type of person that Bernice, poor thing, she always has to deal with this for me. Like if I'm like expecting an email from someone or, you know, I've written an email and I'm nervous about the response, like I'll get it in my inbox and I'll be like, will you read it first? Like, I have a really hard time with difficult.
And I always forget, too. I'm like, well, what did they say? And she's like, I didn't read it.
I haven't read
it
yet.
I'm like, it's been sitting there. You haven't read it?
I'm like, no, I haven't read it yet.
I haven't read it yet.
I'm not ready.
I'm like, mom, send it to me. I want to read it.
Yeah, I know. You love that stuff. It's fascinating to you. I love
that stuff. Yeah.
It's really fascinating to you. But for me, I don't know. It just feels so personal. I've got to work on that. I'm like, not everything needs to be so personal. And that's one of the four agreements. What's the guy's name?
Oh, yeah. What is the guy's name?
But the four agreements, like, you know, one of them is don't take anything personally. And for me, I'm like, grow some thicker skin, Kaylee. Like, you know, I don't know. It's been
I think that's, you know,
there's been some good work there.
There's been some really good work there. And we have to pay attention to that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
we do. Know, where we're challenged too, particularly if we're going to have a business like this.
Oh yeah.
You know, where it's like, okay, well,
yeah,
you know, and especially right now as we're talking about what's our lane and talking with this woman that's helping us, eventually, you know, you have to step out and say, this is our lane.
Yeah, this is our lane. This is our lane.
And some people be like, I don't like that lane.
And for me, I think I've been like fear-based with this business where I'm like, well, let's just be a little bit in every single lane so everybody will have something for everyone.
Yes, right.
You know, rather than being like, this is the lane. Right. You don't need to love this lane.
Right.
You can be in that lane. And it's not okay.
A personal affront.
It's not a personal affront.
Right.
But I think because Ula is so personal to me, then I like. Because
it's like your baby.
Well, and it's like an extension of myself.
Your creation.
That I take things really personally. So I'm working on that. I think you've gotten way better at it, actually. I think I'm getting better at it, too. I've known
you for about 10 years. You're way better now than you were
a few years ago. I am getting better. Well, and I think Ula just has so much more energy infused in it than just mine. So it's easier to not take it personally anymore.
Yes, which is kind of a nice thing.
It's not just my energy.
Right. It's like we've got a few people up and it's a bunch of us, you know.
Yeah.
And you guys out there.
And you guys are part of the energy. Yeah, absolutely. So it's all part of the lesson, you know. I think we're all being asked to learn our lessons right now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of growth.
So much growth.
Like, what are you doing with the planet?
One of the
best. You know, what are you doing with yourself?
Yeah.
What are you doing as a community?
How are you helping each other?
How are you helping each other? How are you helping each other live good lives? And so everyone has a sense of equality, by the way, and mm-hmm. equity. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like all the things that we sometimes overlook as we're just marching down our path of our own particular lives.
I would say the best lesson that we learned is we don't have to be here every day at 8:30 or 9.
Oh my God. Yeah, we were just on this weird.
We were on this path that we're like, we must be at work every day at, you know, I would show up here at like
8.
Or like 8:30, I'd like get out of my house by 8:05. That was the latest I wanted to leave my house with my kids, you know, like drop them off at preschool and then show up here and be like, okay, here I am for work. But like, oh my God, we don't actually have to do that.
No, and actually we're not as creative.
No.
Or
when we're slave to the hustle
of the time. And right. And we have more time to kind of be thoughtful and think and plan versus like, I'm in here now. Now I'm going to sit here for 4 or 5 hours.
Yeah, I know.
And it's like, well, what are you doing with that time? I don't know. I'm just sitting. That's what
I
do.
It freed up so much for us, I feel like.
It really did.
It's been cool to just have everything. Like, this is part of the process. Like, when systems die, you get to create a new system. And so for the business, I feel like that's been super super awesome.
Oh, super awesome.
It's been so good.
Oh, yeah.
So hopefully we have just more ability to continue to create spaces and places and things that help you all along your own path. Mm-hmm. And you know, to unite us. I think the other big thing about Ula is to bring us together.
Yes.
Bring people together and have this like heart, soulful experience, regardless of our stories, yet also very inclusive of our stories.
Yes, exactly.
It's like this, like they don't matter, yet they're everything.
Yes.
All at once.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's fascinating.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. It's like total poetry in action.
Oh, yeah. And it feels like poetry in action when you watch people
move together. Oh my God, it does. It really
does.
Like,
I've been watching some little videos of people teaching outside Ula, and it's just like, it's so inspirational.
Mm-hmm. It totally is.
So we love you guys.
We love you guys so much.
Yeah.
Thanks for challenging us and helping us grow. And hopefully we're all in support of each other's journey to make this place and ourselves better.
Better. Yep, exactly. Thanks for listening.
Love you all.
Love you.